Some of y'all are going to have to go to the table of contents. Ezekiel 37. No, I'm just kidding about the table of contents stuff. I was just messing around. Unless you're at the table of contents. Ezekiel 37. Dry bones. If you've been around any revivals in your lifetime, if you've been to a few revivals, you probably heard somebody preach from here. And if not, great. I'm glad I preached that two-point message this morning. Some people didn't come back. So we had to get them while we got them, right? Amen? Have y'all found Ezekiel chapter 37? If you found it, say amen. I still hear about three pages turning. There it is, Ezekiel 37. Let's get in the Word of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. I think this is one of the neatest places in the Bible. God knows every valley we can die in. He knows every valley that we can grow dry in. God knows every one of those valleys. There's more than one. Amen? There's more than one valley that you can dry up and die in. There's financial valleys. All right, there's two of us. Amen? There's financial valleys. You can dry up and all of a sudden just think, everybody's forgotten you, everything's gone. What in the world am I going to do? God help me. You feel like you're all alone and nobody knows your situation, but God knows your situation. There's spiritual battles. I think Nikki talked about that this morning. She had spiritual battles. There's a valley that you can dry up there. I should have probably saved that one to the last because those are the hardest. Me and Peyton laughed on the way home. He was talking about, wow, they got robbed by a man with a machete. But that wasn't the worst day. I kind of start reevaluating things, amen? Machete attacks are up on the top of the list. But truth be told, I was talking to him, there's been times in my walk, and there'll be times in your walk, where I almost wanted to forget who I was. The devil can attack you so much that you want to give up exactly who God called you to be. And is that scarier than somebody after you with a machete? It absolutely is, because that's a limited time thing. This is an all-time thing. There's sexual valleys. You say, well, I can't get stuck in those. Yeah, you can. Anybody can. Somebody that's 80, somebody that's 70, somebody that's 60, somebody that's 50, somebody that's 40, 30, and anybody with an iPhone, anybody with a tablet. It's so accessible now. Used to, you had to go and hide or go find. Now, it's accessible. It's right there if you want it. It's on demand. And I tell you right now, that is the scariest thing. Because you know what? Kids, I hate to tell you, your parents ain't going to be able to stop you. The only one that's ever going to be able to stop that is if you get God involved in it. If you get God involved in it and ask Him to help you with that. Amen? There's bitterness valleys. There's bitterness valleys. We can get there really quick. Amen? There's anger valleys. And man, you know what happens when you get in those valleys? You just dry up. Dry up and die. You know? And I started thinking about these valleys and how God knows where every one of them is, but you know what He also knows? He knows who to send to get you out of them. Amen? Preachers, ministers, people that have an idea that you're going to serve God, don't be afraid when God sends you to a dry place. You might want to make a note right here. Don't be afraid when God sends you to a dry place. He didn't send you there to dry up yourself. Whew. Golly, I could preach for an hour right there. He didn't send you down there to dry up too. You say, what do you mean, preacher? There's places you can go and things you can do that'll cause you to dry up and die. How do you avoid those places? Go where God sends. Go where the Spirit leads. Don't go where you want to go. Go where God wants you to go. Amen? And minister what He says to minister. Do what He says to do. Ezekiel, I guarantee you, he never signed up. Hey, you're a prophet of God. Awesome. Where are we going? Valley of Dry Bones. The Valley of Dry Bones Church. No. God sent me to an exciting place where everybody's happy and everybody gets along and everybody's going to do the great work of God. And I need a bunch of them. Now I'll give you a bunch of dead people who are dried up. Amen? We were talking about this also on the way here. A lot of times in ministry, you know what we want? We want ready-made ministry. We want just add water. Just add Jesus and give it a stir and it's ready to serve. Amen? You know what you got to do in ministry? You got to minister to one like you would minister to 1 million. What you got to do is you got to preach to a handful like you'd preach to 1 million of them. Then you got to do this. Praise God, you can't pick who you're going to minister to. You can't look at people and say, oh, that one will be good and that one won't be good. You know why? Because God has got trophies hidden in the different packages. Amen? He's got some trophies hidden in different packages. Amen? I love that about God. You'll get people and you'll think, man, that person ain't going to be this or this person ain't going to be that. And that'll be the person that runs with you through the gates of hell and goes in and gets the worst people out. And all the time you just look at them like, God, I didn't think it was going to be this one. And they're looking over at you and go, I didn't think it was going to be that one. Amen? I love when God takes him down there. He sizes it up. There's been so many times in so many places that we've walked into and I've said, oh, Lord, this got to be a mistake. How in the world would you send me down here? God ain't going to send His people to the greatest places. What do you want? Amen? It's not ministry and everything's all right. You're giving them Jesus. They're dried up and dead. They're burnt up in the valley. I love what he does. He lets him look at them. He lets him go around and look at it. I know what he's thinking. Poor guy. Poor people. Poor situations. Wow, that's a tough place. God's like, yeah, you're about to go and be the minister there. You're about to go and be the life to those people. Right? God will let you look at it sometimes and you'll say, I don't know about those people. I don't know about that situation. And all of a sudden, there's this knocking on your heart, this strange one, because it's weird, because it sounds like God's saying, you go and do it. And that's when you start running all the excuses, right? Oh, God, I don't know anything about bones. I don't know anything about dead people in the middle of the desert, Lord. That's a you thing. And then God asks him questions. Can these bones live? Why is God asking me questions about people? Or situations or ministries or things that I don't know about. Because he's wanting to get your heart intertwined and working on somebody else. Amen? Can I tell y'all a secret right here? Can I preach a little bit into your life? Can I speak some life into you? If you'll ever start ministering to other people, life will become great for you. Life stinks when you're a Christian and it's all about you. Amen? It really does. Because all of a sudden you'll be disappointed and aggravated because you're not doing the thing that you were meant to do. You're meant to find that place that God wants you to operate in it. And other people will look at you and go, you're crazy. And you'll say, yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm right where I want to be crazy. Y'all, are y'all with me tonight? I hope y'all are getting this. Let it seep in there, right? I wrote this down. God will take you where you don't want to go and you will not do what And He will not do what you desire. He will send you to the need and change your desires sometimes in the midst of it. Did you hear what I just said? Your desires, have you ever read it? So God make God will give you your heart's desire. You ever read that in a song? God will give you your heart's desire. Oh man, when I first read that in the Bible, I was like, yes! Car, I had a car in my mind. Thank you, Lord. I got it. I know exactly what it is. But automatically, He starts changing your desire. I didn't want a car. I wanted to go and talk to homeless people. God, I'm going to look so cool in that car. I want to look good in that car. God said, yeah, you look better to me up under a bridge telling somebody else about Jesus. That's where you look good. That's where you look good to me. Ain't that cool? I mean, God will do that to you. He'll change your desire. You'll be sitting there going, man, you'll be thinking it's so hard, it's so difficult. But guess what? After a while, it's so difficult for you to stay away from where God wants you to be. You'll be sitting there going, man, I don't want to be down there. I don't want to do that. Next thing you know, when God changed your desire, I've done this so many times. I've walked into buildings and I've said things like, I'll never, no way, ain't going to happen. And then all of a sudden, man, your heart is wrapped up in that thing and you're like, I love this craziness. I love this. I love what I'm doing. Do you say it? Can you say that to the Lord? Can these bones live? I don't know. I don't know, Lord. I don't know. What was it going to take? Amen? God tells him the craziest thing. Look at this. Again, he said unto the Son of Man, can these bones live? And I said, answered and said, Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Man, is that useless or what? Preaching to a pile of dead bones in the middle of the desert. While you're preaching, you're going, God, this ain't going to work. Sounds like to me what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Those dry bones are down in that valley where they died. They died in drug addiction. They died in pornography. They died in bitterness. They died in sin. They got bogged down and burned up in sin. And there they laid and they said, there's no hope for us. There's millions and millions of people saying, there's no hope for us. And God says, go preach them a word. Go preach them a word. Why in the world would a word help anybody? Amen? Then I come upon this proverb. It's Proverb 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Amen? I started thinking about what he's talking about. Golden apples and a picture of silver. Amen? And a little bowl of silver. I love apples. Is anybody else in here like an apple every once in a while? There's nothing better, amen, than a good apple. Guess what he says? Guess what? This apple, given like this, a good word, from God in the time that you need it, praise God, it's like a good golden apple in a silver dish. One, it's valuable. It's valuable. Some of the best messages, some of the best word I've ever got is more important to me than any amount of money I'll ever receive because it changed my life. When you get up under anointed word and God speaks into your life, you'll sit there and somebody go, well, you know this. I wouldn't trade it for all the gold in the world. There's been times in ministry, there's been times in church, there's been times since I've been serving God that He spoke directly to me, and I wouldn't give you anything for that. I have walked around with a word in my heart and in my mind saying, thank you, God, for that word. I didn't deserve it, but you encouraged me and helped me and loved me when I didn't deserve it. You ever got a good word when you didn't deserve it? Boy, it was precious, wasn't it? It was valuable to you. But guess what else it is? It's life-sustaining. Life-sustaining. Man, you about spiritually died out and dried up. And all of a sudden the word comes and it's like a nice, juicy apple. Amen. It's almost like a dessert, but it's filling. Amen. And it ain't only good for that day, it's good for the next day. Whew. Aren't you glad of that? Man, I'm glad of that. I'm glad the Word of God is like that. I'm glad there's no other place on the face of the planet that you can do this where you can get a Word from God fitly spoken that'll change the direction of your mind. Your circumstances might not change, but praise God you got a Word that they are. Amen, preacher. That's pretty good. I like that kind of stuff. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. That's verse 4. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do you see them yet? I don't care if he's in a vision. I don't care if he's in a dream. But literally, he believes he's in a desert preaching to some dry bones. And man, my God, look at James. He rears back. Hey, listen up, you dry bones. Goodness gracious. I know. Woo. Man, I love people who don't care about who they're ministering to as long as they get to minister. Praise God. Everybody's wanting a big crowd. They want this, they want that. Minister, man, shovel out the hay. God will bring who needs the hay. Amen. Just deal it out. Well, I'm waiting on that one person to come in. Praise God. God already knows who needs it. Can I go ahead and go out on a limb and say this? If they didn't need the Word of God, they wouldn't be here anyway. My cousin need a dad. My brother need a dad. My aunt need a dad. My sister need a dad. My kids need a dad. Well, praise God, you got it. Whomever, I'm going to preach harder and y'all going to let on. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you as ye shall live. Man, he's preaching the dead things like they're going to be living things. Sometimes you got to preach the dead people like they're living. Amen? You got to preach to say, well, that ain't ever going to reach. My kids ain't ever going to get it. My wife ain't ever going to get it. My husband ain't ever going to get it. Keep giving it the words of life. Amen? Stop speaking the words of death and just say, there's going to be a day when they come. There's a day when they're going to get saved. Praise God, what does it matter? It ain't doing you no good saying negative, is it? No. I love that. The wind ain't even showed up yet. The breath ain't even showed up yet. And he said, there's a wind a-coming. Amen? Don't worry, the wind's a-coming. There's a breath a-coming. You're going to live. Listen to this, verse 6 says, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Write this down. It's a process. Process. If you don't believe it's a process, you're wrong. Those dry bones were down there. First, they need sinews to tie it together. Praise God, you ain't going to be a superhero Christian in 1 week. You get saved and you make one mistake in the first month. People, I thought you got saved. Don't you want to grab them? Never mind. I thought you got saved. I thought everything was different. Everything is different, but it's a process. First the sinews come, then the skin comes, then they're going to pull it together with some tendons. Pray God, it's a process. I need some more word. He's still preaching as the bones are sliding together. Listen, when you're a big pile of bones in the middle of a desert, it don't look good. Oh, never mind. Y'all make it sound like, oh, it's just a precious little old white fossil bone there, of this hip and that bone. Listen, something got down there amongst them and ate the mess out of them, amen? I mean, ate them and picked the bones clean, and some of the bones wasn't even there no more. But when you preach a word, God will bring a bone back from a place that I didn't even know that bone was still there. There's a hip joint connected to a knee bone. I don't even know if that's possible. But praise God, God can put it together where it couldn't have been put back together. Some of y'all need to say amen, because guess what? You got put back together when nobody gave you any hope. She ain't ever going to do anything with her life. She's too far gone. Some of you sitting here right in church, you should just raise your hand every once in a while and go, yeah, praise God, I'm here now. Amen. God went and got that stuff and pulled it together. Amen. He didn't leave me hanging out there. He didn't leave parts here and parts there. He started, hey, is there anybody in here since God saved you? He started pulling it together. Whew. You didn't know how the end product was going to work, but man, my goodness, he started putting it together. You just started believing what you was hearing. I don't know how it's going to work. I ain't spiritual. I ain't been raised in church. I don't know how it all is going to go. But the more they preach, the more they sing, the more they worship, praise God, it seems like God's bringing this thing together for me. That's what my life looked in 2004, 2005. All of a sudden, I just started seeing a bone come this way and a bone come that way. Next thing you know, I learned how to walk. I should say this. I learned how to crawl. I learned how to walk, and then I had to learn how to run, and then I had to learn how to walk again. Never mind, y'all get that sometime. Because sometimes, praise God, you'll fall as a Christian. Well, he messed up, or she messed up. Sure, we messed up. Praise God. when you're born, we're the only people in the world that when somebody's born, we put them in a taxi cab and send them home and never want to see them again. All we want to do is rave about the birth certificate. I'm preaching. Oh, we had three saved. Praise God. They're saved. We had them saved on Sunday. Ain't seen them since. I'd rather see one get saved. We're going to love on them and see their life change, and they'll keep coming back, and somebody will get a burden for them and help them. I think that girl said it this morning. If we'll disciple somebody, praise God, don't look at them and say, I can't believe they made a mess. You bring a one-year-old home, praise God, they'll make a mess, one or under. You bring a baby child, they're going to throw up. They're going to make a mess. They're going to break stuff. So if I'm talking out of kids, I'm sorry. It's just the truth. But you know what? There won't be nothing greater in your life that you've ever done in your life is bring a kid into the world. Amen? You'll love them more than you love yourself. It's exactly what it's like to be a Christian, to see another Christian born into the faith. Woo! I love that, don't you? Is there anybody in here getting your life pulled back together? Is there anybody got your life all together yet? Well, if you do, write a book and send it to me. Mark that last part out, Scott. Don't take that note. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was being commanded. What did he say? So I prophesied as I was commanded. I love that. Good preachers do that. Ezekiel's a good preacher. Hey, you know how many times God's run something by me and I go, you're crazy, God. That's going to get us shot, killed, or ran off. Good, go ahead. That's the way it should work. Good preachers just preach. They just preach what God's given them. They just tell you what God told them. We ain't nothing special. There ain't nothing special about me other than I'm saved. That's it. I got a calling on my life. I know it. But praise God, ain't nothing else about me good. If you put me on a pedestal, please take me off of it. You say, well, you're my... No, you take me off that pedestal, because if you don't, God will knock me off that pedestal to tell you, guess what? I belong on the pedestal. He's just a man of God. Man, that's good. I don't want to be on the pedestal. I don't want to be my son's God. I don't want to be my wife's God. I don't want to be my daughter's God. I want to be a preacher, and I want them to have God on the right place. Whew. Listen to this. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, let's go back up to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. You see it yet? He was preaching to the people, then he was preaching to the atmosphere. We have to have a better atmosphere in church. I'll preach this to you. Have you ever seen a youth group go off somewhere and they get catch fire? And about three or four of them get saved. And they come back and they kind of start to settle down a little bit. Everybody just shifted to the youth. Have you ever had a group of women or a group of men go off to a group, like maybe a big singing or something, and they get in there? And all of a sudden, they're like, woo! And they're shouting, and they're praising, and raising their hand, and they're shouting. And they come back to the church, and they're like, it takes them a little bit because they're trying to figure out how to incorporate themselves into this atmosphere. Amen? So the first thing we say is, it ain't real. They got up there, and this ain't real. No, what it was the atmosphere was different. Amen? See, you don't grow oranges in Indiana. I learned that. Now, in Indiana, the soil is awesome. You can grow oranges in Indiana because the soil is amazing. When you're driving down the road in the state of Indiana, you can look over and the soil is dark and black and rich and full of corn. Amen? Because you know why? Corn is a summer crop. And they got a window of opportunity. See, oranges are not just summer crops. They're year-round crops. See, if you plant a... I'm preaching. Y'all just don't know it. If you plant an orange tree in Indiana or a whole bunch of them, guess what's going to happen? Winter's coming, and their winter will kill an orange tree. You know why? Not because the ground's not good, not because the seed's not good. It's because the atmosphere is not good for that hot fruit to grow. Oh, never. What are you trying to say, Kevin? You can have a great church. You can have great soil. You can have great seed. But your atmosphere can be non-conducive for God to move. You know what the number one thing is for a conducive atmosphere is usually attitude. Amen? Some of us need to learn how to change our attitude where we can have a better atmosphere in the house of God. Can you see the preacher yet? Can you see him yet? Verse 10 says, "So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet." Amen? "An exceeding great army." He changed his... You people need to get up. You need to have life in you. God wants to save you. He wants to change you. He wants to make a new army out of you. And they're like, "I believe it." All right, God, send the wind, send the air. Change the atmosphere of this place. We got the seed in. We just need an atmosphere of change. Somebody said, "Well, if everybody don't get on board with this atmosphere thing, we're just not going to be able to do it." Can I tell you this? It don't take everybody to have it. It just takes a group of people that want it. Amen? And if you don't see it, you're going your way. I think we've learned a lot from that film trip around the world this morning. You can change things by prayer. If it ain't going our way, why don't we just pray it till it does? "Well, that don't look good." Yeah, it won't. Amen? It won't look good. But it looks good when you have the right word, with the right people, in the right atmosphere. Things start to change. Amen? Because see, they got everything they need. They just need to be able to breathe. They need life breathed into them. Amen? Here it comes. "Then said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus say the Lord God, behold, of my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." He changed them. He saved them. He created them. He changed their atmosphere. He gave them breath and life. Now he's saying, "Who are you? You're an army." What do armies do? They go. They defend. They occupy. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And guess what? Remember when I told you that word fitly spoken? Amen? Guess what? It's still valuable and it's still life-saving. It's just different stages. You'll never get to a place in your Christian walk where you'll say, "Man, I'm good." Nope. Every once in a while, you'll need a good seed word. Every once in a while, you'll need a good atmosphere word. And then sometimes you'll need a good sending word. And guess what, church? This is not the place nor the time for this church. It is not the place or the time for this church to say, "We're good, God. We're about to put up a building." You don't think the devil is lined up around? He's like, "Man, he's going to come against us in every way possible." Just when that building gets set down there on August 8th, when that metal hits the ground, the devil's going, "It's on. I want to tear this thing apart." You know what God's saying? "I want you to come alive. I want you to get on fire." Because we're not building a building for it to stay the way it is. We're building a building where we can add more people to it. You say, "Do you have this thing around just to be a building?" No, there's things happening in this community. I have noticed this. If you ain't noticed it, there's a house being built every 5 seconds, it seems like, up here. What do you think those people would like to go to church? As close as possible. But guess what? If they come in here and it ain't good, guess what? I'd rather just go on to Hickson for something good. Guess what? I want them to be able to say, "Hey, pull out of my driveway and pull right in and worship and learn and grow." Because they got the right word, they got the right atmosphere, and I would like to join up with that army. Amen? Amen? This is a revival message, but really it's just true. God knows where you're at. He knows what valley you're laying in. And guess what? If you're not the one laying in the valley, He knows where to send you. So let me tell you this. There's some of you in here. You got saved. You're on fire. Guess what? God wants to do more with that fire than just let you sit around and smolder. He wants you to go out and do something with it and come back in here and get it stoked back up and do it over and over again until the Lord comes back. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.